I have a couple of questions. How many of us have ever met our grandparents? How many have met our great-grandparents? Great-great-grandparents. Which is possible. And I'm assuming if nobody met their great-great-grandparents, then nobody met their great-great-great-grandparents. When I was a kid, I would hear these terms, great-great-grandparents, and I'd say to my mother, "Don't we have any pretty good grandparents? Some okay grandparents?" And my mom said, as she said very often, "Some people have funny children." The dominant culture that we live in, and particularly I'm meaning we live in, the folks who live on the coasts, the folks who tend to gravitate towards Unitarian Universalist life, aren't all that rooted in our past. Now, among us there are genealogists, and how many have done genealogical work on their families? A few, yeah. But many are cut off from their past, because we're a mobile society and we're a young focused society. So the old, and I mean that both with respect in terms of chronological age, but I mean it in terms of anything old, our culture casts aside. And we move, so there are not many of us who live in our ancestral homes. I've mentioned my Japanese friend Takeo several times, and when I went to visit his house where his parents lived, Takeo told me that his best friends, the kids he played with all the time, were the great-great-great-grandchildren of his great-great-great-grandparents' best friends and children he played with all the time, because their families lived in those same houses for generations. They were connected to these people. They knew them. Now, often for these reflections, I do research by reading theological tomes and Wikipedia, novels, poetry. This week, I prepared by watching the movie Coco, a Pixar film. How many have seen Coco? I would say, to those of you who haven't, go home and watch it now. But I won't, because I'd like you to stick around. But when you're done here, go home and watch it now. My wife and I did, and Mary at the end of it turned to me and said, "That's one of the best movies of any kind I've seen in years." It's an amazing film, and for those people who haven't seen it and don't know about it, it's a Pixar animated film in which a young Mexican boy named Miguel, during the time of the Dia de los Muertos, which in English is the Day of the Dead, but it in and of itself is the Dia de los Muertos, he travels to the afterlife, and he meets his ancestors, and it has twists in it that, despite all the movies I've seen over the years, I didn't see telegraphed. It's beautiful. And that Dia de los Muertos is a thing that many Unitarian Universalist congregations hold dear. They borrow, let us say, the outer signs and symbols of that day. And so there's an altar with marigolds and candles and little sugar skulls, and there are intricately cut paper banners. And quite often, nobody of Mexican heritage in the congregation. I said we borrow, because Unitarian Universalists, as part of the dominant white supremacist culture, are quite comfortable borrowing other people's traditions. Taking is another word that's sometimes used. aping is another word. Stealing is yet another. One of the reasons we do this, I think, is one we feel somewhat entitled to. And part of that is because we believe, as I think is true, we are all one human family. And so people of Mexican descent are my cousins. And so I can borrow their traditions in the same way I would borrow my actual cousin's PlayStation if I needed one and he had one. But they're not our traditions to borrow. Nor are they the only traditions. The people in Madagascar, every 5 or 7 years, celebrate the Fama Dihana, which is a celebration where they go to the cemeteries, where the crypts are, where their ancestors' bodies are, and every 5 to 7 years, they exhume the bodies. And they spray them with perfume or with wine. They dance with them. Lively music is played. They are celebrating their ancestors. In Ghana, people are often buried in really elaborate coffins that are designed not like the traditional coffin we're used to, but rather a fantasy representation of what they did in their lives or what they loved in their lives. I've seen photographs of people who loved Elvis's music and were buried in what looked like Elvis's guitar. Fishermen buried in a giant fish casket. Cat lovers in a giant cat. These are traditions too, and we could borrow those, but we don't, and we probably shouldn't. One of the reasons we borrow, I said, is we feel entitled to. One of the other reasons is what we were just noting. We are, those of us who belong to and participate in the dominant culture, we are cut off from our roots. I don't know what the Nordic people do to honor their dead. I don't know what the Vikings did beyond putting, at least for nobles, putting their beloved dead onto a funeral pyre, often a ship, and sending it out. But I don't know how they continued those connections. I know they did, but I don't know how. And I don't know how my Scottish ancestors honor the connections that I know are part of the culture, but I don't know what they did. And I would wager that very few of us in this room right now know how our ancestors honored our ancestors. But why should we honor our ancestors, we might say? Why does it matter? Many Unitarian Universalists don't believe in any kind of afterlife, and so what are you even honoring? Well, for those who don't believe in some kind of continuation of the spirit, of the life, we have the memories to honor, the stories to hear and to pass on. And one of the elements in Coco that I found so beautiful and so heart-wrenching was that for those ancestors in the afterlife, as long as they were remembered, they continued. But as soon as the last person who remembered them, who told their stories, forgot or died themselves, they ceased to exist. And so the remembering matters, because our stories matter. Where did we come from? Who informed who we are today? That matters. That matters. Now, for those of us who identify as white and who have ancestry in this country for a long time, we're not sure we want to know the stories of our ancestors. My Swedish side came to the United States in the generation of my grandparents. So they've got a pretty clean story here. My ancestors on my mother's side, the Scots-Irish, they go way back. And some of them owned slaves. And I don't want that to be part of my story. And there are people in our country, in our culture, in our community who aren't connected to their stories because their stories were taken from them. I heard a podcast not that long ago in which the descendants of Dred Scott and the descendants of the Chief Justice who wrote the opinion in the Dred Scott case came together. And one of the things that was remarkable is the family that descended from the Supreme Court Justice knew all about him, had paintings and drawings of him on their walls. They told the stories of this man, not so much the Dred Scott decision, but lots of other decisions that he was part of that were good for our country. The reporter who is reporting this story, when she met one of the descendants of Dred Scott, she said immediately I could tell he had his eyes. She had spent time with the images that she could find of Dred Scott, and she had come to recognize a particular kind of stare. And this young man had it. But he didn't know he had it. Because in his family, there were no images of his ancestors. There were no stories being passed down, in part because Dred Scott's wife had had to go into hiding during the time of that court case. And so she did not tell the stories to her children of who she was, who they were. And so they didn't tell their children. And so this young man was astonished to look at a photograph, an image, and recognize himself. Some of us don't know our stories because of our culture. Some of us don't know our stories because the culture stole them. All of us need our stories because they are our stories. We did not begin this life. It doesn't all start with us. It doesn't all end with us. Whether you believe in some kind of afterlife or not, we are part of a river of time. So what do we do with the painful parts? The good parts, we know we can enjoy. Those of us who do genealogy celebrate the explorers and the discoverers and the doctors and lawyers and the impressively creative and powerful women who bucked the system of their day and were things that they could not, should not have been at that time. We celebrate those, but what about the others? One of my ancestors' brothers apparently killed his grandparents, and it was blamed on their slave, and that's how I know that that family had slaves, owned, thought they could own people. What do I do with them? A line from Coco, which is the line that Leah told me when she said, watch this movie to prepare for this Sunday. Forget all that reading stuff. Watch this movie. There's a line in which one of the characters says, we don't have to forgive, but we shouldn't forget. Because even those hard parts of our lives, our lives' stories, are part of who we are. Each year, we honor our ancestors not by copying some other tradition, although there are elements of other traditions in what we do. But we build our ancestors' altar. We call our ancestors into this room, into our consciousness. We do it in ways that make sense for who we are as a community. And so, in just a moment, we're going to pass out paper and pens. There's some pencils in the pews already. You're encouraged to write names, write poems, prayers, messages that you want to give to the ancestors, gratitude, condemnation. We will then also, in just a few moments, have the opportunity to bring those papers forward, to bring the photographs or the mementos that we brought, hopefully, bring them forward, and we will create our ancestors' altar up here. We need to know our stories. And if you can't think of anyone past the grandparent that you met, I challenge you, between this Ancestor Sunday and next Ancestor Sunday, find out something. Learn something about where you came from, who you came from. It's worth knowing. Scott's going to play some music, and we will pass the papers.